You are listening to Rockwell Church in Virginia, Minnesota. Find us online at rockwell.church. Now, here is today's encouraging message from Pastor Chris Tyen.
On Facebook, there's different pastor groups, and so yesterday somebody posted something like, please, no rhyming with 24 in your sermons. And I'm like, too late. You should have caught me a few months ago, because I've got wide open doors in 2024. So it's kind of rhymey. But nonetheless, what are your wide open doors in this coming year? How could God use you? What opportunities do you have? What skills do you have? What connections do you have? What is it that God could do with you in this coming year if you are prayed up and confessing any known sins, or you're all cleaned up and you're just ready to go to be used by God? What could he do in the lives of your extended family, maybe your kids, your grandkids, your neighbors, or your co-workers, or the people that are part of your clubs? So kind of makes me laugh how many people I'm hearing are getting together multiple times a week to play pickleball. So could be a ministry opportunity, I guess, especially if you keep your temper and don't throw your racket and whatnot. But nonetheless, are you prepared? Are you ready? Are you looking for an opportunity? Are you telling God that, yes, here I am, send me, I'm available, I want to be used by you, show me what I can do? And if you want to do that, you need to be prepared to have your agenda, your time interrupted. Sometimes God shows up and gives you these great opportunities when you least expect it. Sometimes God does things in your year that you don't expect, that you should just be ready to adapt, ready to change up your schedule, ready to delegate some things instead of doing them yourself, or ready to say, well, I guess I can't get that done this year because I'm on mission. God's got me doing this thing. So if you came to the Christmas Eve service, I was delighted by the Christmas Eve service, actually, because we put it on the calendar, and I knew for sure there were going to be 15 people here, not way more than that, and there was a lot of people here, and it was a good time. And so thank you for all of you who participated in it. I shared a little bit about John the Baptist during that message. You could watch that online. But John the Baptist prepared for the open door to Jesus. So he was the forerunner. Often they would have like political dignitaries that would come into town, and they'd have someone running in front of them, clearing the way and telling people, you know, here comes this royal person, this important person. Here he comes, everybody. He's coming down the road, and make way for this important person. And that's what John the Baptist did. John the Baptist saw that as his role. He was content in that. He did not need to be the priority. He did not need to be first. Instead, he was content to be the forerunner. So John 1:23, John the Baptist replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. And so the officials were giving him a hard time about, you know, who are you and what gives you the right to baptize these Jews? He was baptizing them for repentance. So they would be ready for Jesus to come. Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. But anyway, so if you read in that passage, you read this about John, that he is giving an answer to who he is. And he's like, really? I'm the one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord, because he's on the way. And so he was content to do that. And then in verse 34, he says, I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. They're actually cousins, Jesus and John the Baptist. And then the Holy Spirit revealed to John the Baptist that Jesus was the one, was the Messiah, was the one. And so John the Baptist knew that and was excited about that and proclaimed that. And that's how he spent his time. That's how he prioritized his life, is putting Jesus first. And we can do that too. How do we need to humble ourselves so that we can put Jesus first? How do we need to step up, even though somebody might criticize us, to put Jesus first? What are we doing to point people to Jesus? People in our society are like, well, we don't want to talk about politics, and we don't want to talk about religion, don't want to offend anybody. Then they go off and they talk about the Vikings or the Packers or whatever. It's like, wait, you're still going to offend somebody. But to have the courage to step up and say, what I'm saying is of eternal value. It literally could rescue you from eternal damnation, from separation from God, from hell. If you receive this message about Jesus, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about what Jesus has been doing in my life. Let me tell you about how I came into a personal relationship with Jesus and how I find that truth in the Holy Scriptures. So John the Baptist knew his place. John the Baptist was quick to point people to Jesus, and you and I need to do that. Often, when it is time for us to share our faith, we, through the Spirit, feel this compelling need and desire to step up and say something, to step up and share. And I think the best time to share actually may be if you take your coworker out to lunch or something. Unless your boss gives you permission, you don't want to do it on the company time. Now, your boss may totally give you permission. So I heard of another pastor who worked full-time in another job for he was doing a small church plant, and his boss gave him permission to leave anytime. If somebody needed counseling, if there was a funeral, if there was something he needed to do ministry-wise, he was free to leave the workplace and get fully paid for it. So he had full permission to share his faith and do any ministry stuff on the side while he worked for this guy and provided for his family and stuff while he tried to plant this church. So that's a good thing. But if it's not your time, then find a time that is your time. Invite them out to eat. Invite them over for dinner. Get together with them and share your faith with Christ. Take it before work, after work, on your break. Nonetheless, if you have opportunity, point people to Jesus. John the Baptist did. It was the right thing to do. He felt satisfied in his life, and we will too. It is a great thing. There's been times where I have felt that compelling, especially when I was young in my Christian life, and I didn't step up. I didn't say what I should say. I didn't do what I should do, and I felt remorse. I felt sad. I felt like I missed out. I felt like, I felt like God wanted me to do something, and I let him down. So number two, Paul adjusted his plans for the wide open doors in Ephesus. So Paul, traveling, missionary, trying to spread the message to the Gentiles everywhere, he felt that he should stay here. It says in 1 Corinthians 16:8-9. It says, but I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, because a great door for effective work has opened for me, and there are many who oppose me. So he was going to head off to Corinth, but right now he's staying at Ephesus. And so he's like got a great open door to share, but he also wants to stick around to address those who are opposing him. So he is not afraid to oppose those who are standing against him, who misunderstand. Sometimes the people that oppose you in your faith are the ones that are eventually going to come along. They are adversarial at first, but eventually God works on their heart, and they might be the ones that are more likely to come to Christ than the ones that never say anything, the ones that never push back, the ones that never question, or even sometimes it feels like they persecute you with the things that they say, but you stand up for Christ, and eventually Jesus wins them over, and you are part of it. So, but we need to be sensitive to God's leading in our life. There might be an opportunity for us to say something, for us to do something, for us to make, to share scripture, to hand out one of our New Testaments, to give them one of our New Testaments, or a video link to something meaningful on Right Now Media, which is our video library online at rockwell.church/right now that you can sign up for and watch videos. So Christian videos and kids videos, we can't address every single one of your needs when there is a need. But we have the sermons online, we have Right Now Media, there's other things that might be able to help you with finances, with budgeting, with how to raise your kids, with how to grow your marriage, how to be a better leader at work, how to be a better boss at work. That's all stuff you can find on Right Now Media. But nonetheless, Paul was sensitive to what God was doing. He's like, the door is wide open right now for me to do this work, so I think I need to stay here, even though I want to come visit you, but I'm going to stay here right now, and then I will come to you in the near future. Number three, Jesus can keep doors wide open. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we read about the seven churches in Revelation, and the church in Philadelphia wasn't a very big church, but Jesus says, I know all the things you do, and I've opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. And there is hope for that church. There is power for that church. There is going to be victory over the satanic stuff that opposes that church, if you read in those two chapters there. But we need to be ready if God opens a door. What if God opened a door? What if God opened a door in this church? So we have a lot of empty seats. What if God filled those seats? What if he filled them to overflowing and we had to have two services again? Which I heard something that happened historically, that this church had two services and then went back to one service. But what if God brought new people in? Are you ready to make new friends? What if you brought in new Christians? Are you ready to disciple someone and help them to grow in their faith? What if the two Sunday school classes overflow and we need to have more classes? Are you ready for that? Are you willing, even if you don't have little kids or young children or elementary age kids, to invest in their life by helping with Children's Church and the Wednesday night program to make a difference in their life? Because we really need to raise up the next generation as a church. If we just are an old church and everybody dies out, then this building will be sold probably to another church, or who knows what it will become. I've seen churches become all sorts of things besides churches. I've seen them become daycare centers, tax accounting offices, business centers. A church that I went to in high school, the Baptist church, closed, was bulldozed, and it became a business center and a Culver's restaurant. So no church there anymore. And part of the problem was everybody just kind of grew old and didn't care and didn't raise up the next generation. But what if God opens a door so wide that we have a great opportunity to do wonderful things? And people come up with all sorts of great ideas on what we can do as a church. But it's always like, you should do this. And it's like, well, there's not enough of us to do that. But if you want to lead that ministry and raise up people to do that, then you can do it with your team. And so we pray and we look forward to opportunity and we look for God to open the door. It says Jesus who brings the growth in the church. And it's us, when we're faithful, that serve in many ways. Maybe you're trapped at home, you can't come to church, you're watching this on cable and you're a shut-in and you're like, what can I do? You can be a positive prayer warrior and you can help by praying for everything that goes on. And you can connect with us and let us know that you're watching or listening or whatever. And let us know how we can pray for you and for those in the church. This is a great church. They say you can tell how healthy a church is by how long people stick around after the service. If the service is over, people fly out the door as fast as they can, and there's no reason for it. There's no Vikings game. There's nothing, you know, happening at noon that made them want to get out the door. If people stick around and they fellowship and they share life together, that's a sign of a good church. And people stick around here for a long time after the church services, and it is a good thing. So are you ready for open doors in 2024? There are so many different ways that we can be open to follow God. We can follow God's call. Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Do you take opportunities to fish for people? Do you find yourself, you know, like at the store or at some event and just randomly start talking to people next to you about, you know, their life and, you know, stuff about them, and then you start to inject stuff about your life in Christ and see if they respond and if they latch on to that and if you can talk to them about Jesus? And are you ready to bring them all the way to the throne to show them how they can be saved and how they can live for Christ? Are you prepared? Are you ready to do that? That would be a good thing. And to follow Jesus' command, to follow God's command. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself, in Matthew chapter 22. So we can love God, we can serve God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbors. Who is our neighbor? All the people around us. So John 15:16, we can follow God's commission. Jesus says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Because when we're on point, when we're serving Jesus, he answers our prayers. He provides the things that we need. What kind of fruit are we talking about? We're talking about new believers in Christ. We're talking about making disciples. That's fully devoted followers of Christ. More workers to serve here in this church, out in other ministries, out into the mission field to plant other churches. It would be great if we could be a church that not only raises up and trains up leaders, but we send them out to serve in other churches or to plant churches or to serve in missions or to start new world outreaches in other places around the world. It's amazing to see what God can do when someone gives them their life, gives him their life, to raise up new leaders in the church. So we need to pray for leaders. We currently don't have elders, so we need elders. I would be glad to train a godly man who is ready to become or thinks he'd be interested in becoming an elder to start like an apprenticeship and to teach them if they are willing. But that's the first thing, is they have to be willing. That's what the Bible says. So, and to follow God's character, 1 Peter 1:16 says, it is written, be holy because I am holy. A door that's wide open for fellowship. In this church, we think fellowship means food because every time we have a meeting or anything else, there's food. And actually, the next meeting that comes has got food as a potluck, which is good. But we're told to meet together as a church. We're told to walk in the light and fellowship with one another. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So I talked about the light and what that means on December 17th. So you could watch that or listen to that online if you wanted to. But we walk in the light. We care for one another. We fellowship with one another. And we fellowship with each other as believers. And Hebrews 10:25 says we're, you know, supposed to spur one another on in love and good deeds, and we're not to give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Some people back then and even today, they quit going to the church gathering, to the church meeting. You know, they just listen to stuff. Here, we can listen to stuff online. We can watch great messages on video or just everything so easily accessible. But do those people online know your name? Do those people care about you? Do they know when you're missing? So the local church should be a caring place where you're part of a local church family that is there for you, that cares for you. So to fellowship for another, a door wide open to fight sin. So over the fall, we went through this spiritual armor and fighting against evil and a series on that, and we learned how to stand our ground wearing God's spiritual armor, and that we could stand our ground and pray to fight sin through prayer. Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So we can prioritize prayer. It doesn't mean that you have to get up at 4 a.m. and get down on your knees and pray for 4 hours before you go to work, which would be good. Some people have done that. Some people have a prayer closet. Some people have a prayer place. Some people have a prayer time. Some people just pray as they go. So they are just constantly at prayer all day. Anytime they think of things, they just like, Lord, will you help this person? Will you do this? Will you do that? I'm thankful for this. Help this person to understand. Show me how you can use me. Forgive me of this and that. It's prioritized prayer. It's purposeful prayer. Proactive prayer is when you start to pray for things that are not. Lord, fill these seats with people that need to know about you. Lord, fill our children's ministry with people that are delighted to have the opportunity to teach the children about Jesus. Lord, provide whatever, provide the leadership we need in the church. Provide the thing that we need to fix the church. Provide this need in this person's life. Help this person to find a job. Help this person to find the reliable transportation that they need. Help this person to find someone to watch their child because their daycare is not good. Help there to be more good Christian child daycares on the range to care for the children and teach them about Jesus while their parents are at work. Proactive prayer and intercessory prayer, being involved in the lives of people, praying for them. We fight evil through praying. So, and to a wide open door to forge deeper faith. On the bottom of your bulletin, it says, happiness comes with salvation. However, we must maintain this happiness. How can we keep this happiness? One, read the Bible daily. 2, take time to pray daily. 3, always think the best of all people. 4, always look on the good side of life. 5, accept everything that comes into your life as a gift from God. So that was written by a pastor who died in 2008, Croft Pence. And so he was a leader and a pastor in the Deaf Church. So he interpreted 5 Billy Graham crusades. He wrote many books. He ministered to people that might have been disappointed with their life because they couldn't hear. And here he encourages them and encourages us to look at the difficult things in our life as maybe something that God can use, something that God could work through, something that God could do. So, Jerry, if you want to grab the lights, we're going to watch a video for 2 minutes about a prayer for the new year, and then we're going to have communion. So if you're watching online, if you want to grab some juice or wine and a cracker or some bread, you can have communion with us. But so we're going to watch this video clip, and then we're going to have communion.
God of all creation, as we look ahead to another year, we look above to you. Your grace is enough. Your mercy is new every morning, and your power is made perfect in our weakness. This year we have faced many trials. We have fought many battles. We have learned many lessons, and we have prayed many prayers. But this is our hope in life and in death. You are the God who sees. You are the God who knows. You are the God who cares. And you are the God who loves. And so we pray for courage to face our giants. We pray for grace to cover our guilt. We pray for strength to overcome our challenges. We pray for joy in all circumstances. And we pray for vision to see what you see. We don't know what we will face this year, but we do know this: it will never be faced alone.
We hope this message from Pastor Chris Tyen at Rockwell Church has encouraged you in your faith. Join us next Sunday at 10:15 a.m. in person or watch online. We are located on Highway 53 at 93 Midway Drive in Virginia, Minnesota. To find out more and to let us know how we can pray for you, go to our website at rockwell.church.